This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It is not April 6th. It's April 13th, 2020. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and listening on Facebook Live right here, right now, you can comment at the Bicycle Talk Facebook page, or you can email me at bicycletalk@gmail.com. We are recording our shows on Mondays now using Facebook Live and then playing them at our normal times on WHUS 91.7 FM on Wednesdays. So Fran's show is on at 10 a.m. and my show is on at 11 a.m. We will continue to do this until we are allowed back into the studio on the UConn campus. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Ron's rant of the week. God, I'm getting tired of this. COVID-19 again? It's still here? Ugh. And a little repeat from last week, too. Let's talk a little bit more about this social distancing thing. It's social interaction, physical distancing, hashtag SIPD. Let's aim for physical rather than social distancing. I'm just getting really, really tired of hearing this social distancing thing. It's physical distancing. That's what we're looking for. Okay, now we're going to scoot over here just for a second, and we are going to attempt to figure out where everything is on my screen. It's very, very exciting here. So on a positive side, because we have to have a positive side, just got to get all the way back there. This is it. My positive side this week is Matthew Fleming. Matthew Fleming. Who the heck is Matthew Fleming, Fran asks.
I don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah, who's Matthew Fleming?
Okay. Matthew Fleming is from Tacoma, Washington.
And oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. So Matthew Fleming is a Tacoma cyclist that keeps the spirits up by shouting messages from his bike. Okay, so this comes from Bicycling Magazine. A shout out to my friends at Bicycling Magazine. This is a great piece right here. He thought it was going to just be a simple joke, but it turned out to be something a whole lot bigger. So anyway, Matthew Fleming, he was angry, he was frustrated, and quite frankly, bored. Does that sound familiar by any chance? You guys feeling that? So anyway, due to the coronavirus pandemic and the resulting economic downturn, the 27-year-old was laid off from his job as a sous chef at the Hotel Murano in downtown Tacoma, Washington. Echoing his feelings, the feelings of many others nationwide, he felt defeated and unsure of how to navigate the gloomy, seemingly endless days ahead. All he wanted to do was scream. I know that. There are people that are actually doing screams, too. There's screams on Facebook. I've seen all sorts of interesting things. Anyway, wishfully, he wondered aloud to his girlfriend whether or not anybody would pay attention for him to just do that. Scream. She laughed, put the wheels in his head, and they were already turning. So he thought, no, really, I would like people to pay me. I wonder if they would pay me to scream, he told Bicycling. This is from Bicycling Magazine. Fleming created an Instagram account, and it's @Tacoma_shout_outs, and posted to his followers that he'd yell anything to anyone from his bike for just $1. All they had to do was send him a location, a time, and a message that abided by three rules: no racial slurs, no threats, and no hate speech.
Don't talk about prices.
No. He anticipated only a couple of responses from his own community of cycling buddies, but Fleming was sorely mistaken. Responses took off, growing from 4 or 5 requests a day to an average of 50 within 48 hours. The city of Tacoma latched onto it, Fleming said. People started telling their moms, their dads, their grandmothers, their nieces, nephews about this, and he quickly realized that this was going to be a lot more than just a simple joke among friends. Every day for the past 2 weeks, except Wednesdays, he takes the day off for bike repairs, and he needs a break. Okay, he's a busy guy. But he's been riding for 4 hours a day, although it may be longer, depending on his route. adds up to 20 to 30 miles a day on his bike. Sentiments range from happy birthday to I miss you to I love you, and inside jokes between friends. One recent shout required the recipient's father, called him a fart knocker. See it for yourself. So anyway, there's actually a video online of him doing that, which is very, very funny. Anyway, Fleming's favorite so far, a shouting, i.e. breathless rendition of Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody that a father requested for his kids. Fleming took the lead with Freddie Mercury's lines while the kids handled backup. I was circling the house for about 6 minutes, he laughed. So anyway, this is a really cool thing. We are like impressed. We are so, so impressed with you, Matthew Fleming. From Washington State. Very funny, very clever, very creative. Let's get clever and creative on our bicycles, huh? That's what this is all about. This is Bicycle Talk. We're talking about bicycles, anything we can do to keep the cycling world alive. I just thought this was the coolest thing. And as I was reading it to Fran last night, I said, you're not going to believe this. This is awesome. So the thing that he does is he also he takes donations. And he is actually giving the donations to his local bicycle shop, the secondhand bike shop. And so it helps them out. So he's actually found an avenue for that, too. As far as avenues for that, too, I'm going to announce this right now because that way I will commit to this. But tonight at 6 p.m. on Facebook Live, I will be teaching a 1 hour long or roughly just short of 1 hour, probably, spin class, indoor cycling class from my trainer right here at our house, 456 Bassus Bridge Road. So I will have a Facebook Live this evening at 6 p.m. If you want to dust your trainer off or if you're looking for some motivation, I can help you out with that tonight. So that'll be fun. So anyway, this I just thought was a very, very cool thing. Big shout out to Matthew Fleming. Good work. Great job. Moving on to the maintenance minute. The maintenance minute this week, the person cave, not just the man cave anymore. Time to organize those tools and workspace so you can better take care of your bikes and maybe your friends or neighbors too. And remember, please wipe down that bike before working on it so we don't pass anything on that maybe came from another environment. So anyway, dust off that man cave or person cave. And let's get things looking like, you're ready for action. And I'll talk about this a little bit deeper into the show because things are going to get crazy. We have not seen crazy yet, believe it or not. I don't know why I'll talk to you about that a little deeper into the show. In addition, if you're looking to support your local bike shop, big shout out to the local bike shop, and you'd like to drop off their favorite beverage, be it coffee or beer or whatever it is that works for them, remember to include a couple of disinfecting wipes if you have them so they can wipe down your special contribution. Big shout out to the bike shops out there. You guys are working hard right now. You are essential. It has been determined. It's federally determined that bicycle shops are essential businesses. So they are there literally cranking them out right now, cranking out repairs, taking care of people, and they're quite busy. And I had someone that contacted me earlier. I saw a quick post come through from the bicycle mechanics page that I'm hooked up to, and they said, how are the other bike shops doing? And I'm going to tell you, the other bike shops are doing just great. And if we have time to get to it today, I will reflect a story on that one too. But the bike shops seem to be doing just fine. Let people know that you're alive and awake and out there. If you are a bike shop, I know that, we were in town at a bike shop up in Glastonbury a few weeks back, and we kind of tapped on the windows and waved to them, just throw a little love in their direction. They don't really want you inside the store for the most part. So you're going to have to just kind of drop stuff off and, talk to them from a distance, whatever you need to do. And, you're going to just handle business in a different fashion. That's all. But please support your local bicycle shop. They are so, so important to you, and they're very important to me. I have a near and dear relationship with them, being in the industry for over 44 years. I certainly understand how things work with them. Support that. So we're going to move on to my next level of business here. And this one is really interesting. There's actually a few different ones here that are very interesting. I just can't find enough fun stuff going on here. I seem to have missed a link here, though. But Oakland, California. Big shout out, Oakland, California. Oakland is opening up 74 miles of city streets to pedestrians and cyclists. The mayor's, he's calling it Slow Streets Initiative, will allow California city residents to enjoy the outdoors free of cars. How about that? Guess what's happening? We've got a revolution happening right now in physical exercise and personal transportation. This is it. We've been asking for it for years. We've been shouting it out at the top of our lungs. We've been complaining about the fact that we don't have enough places to ride our bicycles that are safe. We've been trying to get our politicians to put more money into their infrastructure so that we can have this done, so that there's safe places to ride their bikes. And now, because everything is shut down, and we're able to do things like this, and if you are from a particular town or city that has the luxury of being able to pull off what Oakland's mayor Libby Schaaf did, then will you please pay attention to this? This is a very, very, very good idea. Not only is it a good idea because people really need to get out right now, and it's really important, and physical exercise is also extremely important, but it's also a great test to show what can happen when your city switches from automobiles to bicycles. We're already getting reports from the EPA that the skies are clearing. We're already getting all sorts of information of how, you know, because we're not driving our cars anymore, things are less congested within the cities. You can get around a lot easier than you used to. So with many residents working from home and children out of school, the city of Oakland, California is closing off 74 miles of its streets to passing cars, making it easier for residents to run, bike, or play just in time for the holiday weekend. Of course, this came out just a few days ago. This was April 10th. So this was just before the Easter and Passover weekend. So anyway, because of the reduction in car traffic, we will be closing off a number of the streets so that bicyclists and pedestrians can spread out and take fresh air safety on Oakland streets, free of cars. And that was announced on Thursday for the weekend. So how about that? That's pretty cool. Like many Californians, Bay Area residents have flooded parks and local beaches since shelter-in-place order took effect in mid-March, prompting officials to close parks to prevent the spread of the novel coronavirus. City officials hope the Slow Streets Initiative, which they are calling an emergency measure, will give residents a safe way to get outdoors for Easter weekend while area parks are restricted. But Schaaf cautioned residents on Friday that the initiative does not mean public health guidance, that the public health guidance should be ignored. Social distancing, physical distancing, is the only vaccine we have to fight this deadly virus. So the news was met with resounding applause from local transportation advocates. This is a great thing. So there's a bunch of tweets that are in this article. It tells how people are just really giving it a big, big thumbs up. I just think this is the coolest thing. This is the beginning of the cycling revolution in this country. Other countries ride bicycles everywhere. We drive cars everywhere. We're very car centric here in the United States. So it is definitely a thing. Big shout outs to John Buskey, Laura Mullaly, Randy Spellman, and Bill Damaris, who I just got shout outs from, who are listening to the show right now. Thank you very much for listening. Last week's show, I had 395 hits on Facebook Live. 395 people checked out the Facebook Live that we did last week. I thank you all so much for doing this. This is really, really cool. We're very excited by what this has done. With all of this that's going on, we've got some great innovation that's happened through through all of our technology and the fact that this is my favorite part. People are just bored. So they'll even watch me doing this, which is very cool. So I got another article here. If I can get to pull up, it disappeared from my screen. Now it says page not found. So I guess that's why it disappeared from my screen. The state of Connecticut said that they saw a dramatic drop in traffic as residents stay safe and stay home. Once again, vehicle traffic is down. We noticed it yesterday. Fran and I went out for a lovely ride yesterday. We ended up riding.
I haven't got gas in a month.
Yeah, she hasn't gotten gas in a month. How about that?
I do have a hybrid. That helps.
You do, but still, you haven't got gas in a month.
Gone anywhere.
And you know, if you don't go anywhere, that's what happens. Anyway, we were out on our bikes yesterday. We got in a great little ride and loves this part. We got to see some donkeys, which were very nice on the side of the road. If you look at the Facebook post, you will see that, and you will see that it was fun. It was fun. Anyway, the beauty of it was nobody's on the road. The beauty of it was very, very few cars. I don't think we have been in any way harassed by a car or a truck or anything in a long time. It's actually been really good as far as that goes. We just got a little blinking of the lights. We're hoping that our power stays on so we can continue to do this. If not, you'll just have to listen to the show on Wednesday with us on the air. So anyway, just a warning here. We're having a big, big storm outside right now. Heavy winds, heavy rain.
And I'm so glad I did my Zwift before.
Yeah, I'm glad we got your show recorded before too. So that was good. So anyway, we were out for that great bike ride. The roads are quiet. They are as quiet as the roads can get. It's kind of nice. And of course, you know,
we saw donkeys.
We saw donkeys. And with that last little piece that I talked about with the, cities getting innovative with closing roads down so they can spread people out a little bit more. What a great idea. The roads are already there. There's no one driving the cars on them. So what a wonderful, wonderful idea. So anyway, that's from Oakland, California on that one. Santa Cruz, Specialized, and Ceres contribute to the COVID-19 fight. All right. So there's a lot of stuff going on with the bicycle companies right now. I've got a lot of this information is coming from Bicycle Retailer Magazine. They send out almost daily updates to me, which is really, really nice, but it gives you an idea about what's going on. And I've been talking about this for a while that, you know, companies keep stepping up and they'll make masks or they'll make face shields or whatever. Well, the latest ones have been Specialized and Santa Cruz and Ceres. So, anyway, Specialized hopes to source 1 million masks. Like a growing number of bike companies, when COVID-19 pandemic broke out, Specialized looked into using its resources to manufacture face masks for healthcare workers. Quotes, we were prototyping masks using our helmet retention system, said company co-founder and CEO Mike Sinyard. It worked pretty well. But then Sinyard and others began thinking bigger as demands for masks grew. We were all stunned by the magnitude of the whole thing, and we have a lot of colleagues in Asia and Italy who were affected by it. And we thought, making these masks makes us feel good, but what is really needed is a massive amount of supplies in a week, not a month. So Specialized decided to use its connections in Asia to source thousands of masks. To date, the company has brought in 40,000 masks, both 3-ply and KN95 that have been donated to area hospitals and bike shops nationally. Sinyard said that the project turned out to be more difficult than he expected. The company first looked to Taiwan for masks, but that country wasn't allowing them to be exported. Then a source in China He found a source in China, but U.S. Customs at first would not allow them to into the country. Customs was blocking the big shipments. So we arranged for smaller volume of shipments that were sent to people's houses, he said. He said the customs has now lifted the ban on imports, and Specialized now has a goal of importing 1 million masks in addition to the donations to hospitals and shops. Specialized is talking to state officials about selling them at a cost to the state. Anyway, Mike Sinyard says, I thought this would be simple, but it turned out to be more complicated than he thought. It's been pretty exhausting couple of weeks, said Specialized Executive Vice President Bob Marganvois. Marganvicious. Actually, it says Marganvicious. Interesting. Did all the work on the project. So pretty cool stuff. Santa Cruz is using its manufacturing facility to make face shields. Santa Cruz Bicycles, their R&D team is at work producing face shields for local medical staff using sheets of plastic cut using their CNC machinery typically used for cutting carbon fiber. The company also is using 3D printers normally used to prototype bike products for the face shield project. The equipment allows the company to make up to 20 face shields lenses every 9 minutes, yielding about 1,000 shields per day. The company spent 10 days evaluating designs, developing multiple prototypes, and getting feedback from local healthcare professionals to ensure that the end product suited their needs. 3D sterilizable support frames are using open source CAD designs. So anyway, the company has procured enough material to produce 8,000 face shields in two designs in the next week. 75 shields from a pilot run were delivered to the Santa Cruz Donation Center on Thursday. And then Ceres, they're delivering food to families and friends in need. So Ceres, out of Madison, Wisconsin, and its staff are contributing to their community by using electric cargo bicycles to deliver donated meals to families with kids in need. What's happened right now is biblical and historic. We have not seen anything like this in our lifetime, and we are going to do our part to address the challenges head on, said Chris Fortune, Ceres' CEO. Right now, it's really more important to give the people that need it most and make sure that our community gets fed as the highest priority. So anyway, there's a great little picture here of a little Ceres. Looks like a three-wheeler situation where there's, you know, a pedal in the back and then two wheels up in the front. And there's a big bunch of groceries in the inside of it. And they're delivering these around Wisconsin, actually around Madison, where they are located. So pretty cool stuff. That's what people are doing in the bicycle industry. There's way more than that. It's including there's just a little bit of bicycle retailer and bicycle industry news here that the Federal Reserve is helping businesses in need with a $2.3 trillion loan. There's a link there. If you're a bicycle dealer and you're listening to this, go to Bike Retailer and it'll send you to the link, which is good. There's a new podcast that I just found, and I was not aware of the fact that they're doing it, but the National Bicycle Dealers Association has a podcast. So if you are a bicycle shop and you want to know a little bit more about what's going on, I did listen to one episode this morning. It was good. They were talking on the latest podcast. They talked about bicycle shop operations during the COVID-19 crisis. And so it's about a half an hour podcast, and it'll give you some good information about, you know, how others are doing within the industry. So shout out again to that person who contacted me earlier about, you know, what's going on with other shops. Go to this site and you might be able to find some more information there and see what's going on. There was a big article in Bicycle Retailer that came out on the 9th of April. And it was with Trex CEO John Burke. And he talks about the industry's best days are ahead. And I agree with him. And I have some comment on that a little bit later on. But we are just starting to see a major boost to the bicycle world, the bicycle industry. Look what Oakland, California just did. They opened up their streets. People are going to start studying these things and they're going to go, wait a second, we got it all wrong. You know, and I know that it's really hard to fight the automobile manufacturers. They're a big deal. They're a big source, but they are also a big source of pollution in this country. They're a big source of climate change. And, you know, bicycles are not. So this, this at least will get the wheels spinning inside of people's heads. They'll change their thought pattern about how things are going to go.
And then the wheels will be spinning on the road.
Very good, Fran. I like that. That's nice. Very good. Very, very good. So Eurobike cancels their July media event. Not sure about September show plans. More in the news. Vail Resorts, from the big ski area out in Colorado, which has a lot of mountain biking going on there, employs, furloughs 65 employees at Colorado bike shops. So Dick's will furlough employees beginning on April 12th. And then there's a story about how many shops can apply for Small Business Administration PPP program. Events, you know, there's shows are still on, but
I'd like to say that the PPP loan, you need a lot of patience and I think the reason it's called PPP,
right?
Yeah, there's a lot of the PPP loan stands for Paycheck Protection Program,
yeah,
but I think it really is supposed to stand for patience, persistence, and another P word.
And positive feeling.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I like it. That works.
Because I applied for that, and I applied for the disaster loan because my business is still happening. It's just
it is.
You know, it's yes, it is, but it's still, you know, obviously, like many micro enterprises, we have much less. Our business has gone way down.
Right. Right.
So when that qualifies us for the loans, but. Guess what we've heard from the SBA?
What have you heard? Oh. Oh, dear. What is that?
That's my really bad imitation of crickets.
Oh. Got you. Yeah. Well, you know, it's like they're really, really busy. And obviously you can see why. But, you know, they're pretty busy. They're pretty busy. I can understand. So there was a Belgian-Dutch study. Why in times of COVID-19 you should not walk, run, bike close to behind each other. And it actually showed, there are some graphics on it.
Yeah, that's the respiratory signature deal.
Right. This came from themedium.com. It's medium.com. And it talked about this. And it is all about that distance signature, that the typical 1 to 2 meter.
I feel like medium is like it's a platform for the grim.
I you know, it seemed a little grim when I read this, but I figured I would bring it up.
A lot of things you read on Medium are grim. I think being grim and important and making a lot of intense platitudes, that's what's required for Medium. I shouldn't say that. I'm going to get such a hard time.
That's all right. You
that.
Can. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Well, there's a lot of that going on right now. I mean, we've got a lot of you know, doomsdayers out there right now that have taken a hold of this and run with it, including the media, which I find has been a little disturbing. You know, I'm fine with the media. I'm fine with the media that gets out there and tells the truth and that is open-minded and honest about it. But there's a lot of stuff going on that is really driving fear. And I like to have a more positive attitude to it than that. And, you know, that's why I am still and you are still out. We're still out riding our bicycles. You know, we're trying to stay positive. We live in an area where we do have a very low profile as far as the coronavirus goes. So we're fortunate in that way. And I understand that. But you can find ways of getting out. It's scaring us all inside. I do not think is the correct answer. And this is my opinion. And I, you know, if you feel differently, I certainly understand. You can certainly respond to my Facebook, my Bicycle Talk Facebook page with your comments, or you can reach me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com.
But it's harder to do. It's harder to physically distance when you live in a place where there's a lot of population.
Exactly.
I mean, and yet my heart breaks for New Jersey that all of their state parks are closed. It's awful.
It is. It's terrible. But, you know, so were the parks in Oakland, California. They were all closed. But what did they do? They changed the mindset. They opened the streets instead. And they have designated streets, 74 miles of them now, that are designated for people to spread out on, ride the bikes, and get out and move. You can make these changes. These can be done. You just gotta, you know, you gotta think in a positive forward motion here. How are we gonna get out of this? What are we going to do? This is important stuff. So anyway, this, of course, is talking about that slipstream that you get when you have someone running behind you, or when you're riding your bike. You need to apply a larger distance so that anything that might be coming out of a possible infected person that is in front of you is not landing on your bicycle, because it's not really as much the airborne that we're dealing with here as it is the physical touching of items, if I'm not mistaken here. So it's that. If someone had COVID and sneezed and they were in front of you and their particles landed on your handlebars and you were then to touch the handlebars, then possibly touch your face, that's when you run into a problem. So anyway, the cloud droplets that left behind a person are clearly visible, and they did a study on this. And of course, it was all computer enhanced, and it's how they figured out how it all worked. But there is a distance that you really need to keep. So if you are out there and you're riding your bikes and you're riding with people that are not within your your cell, your
quarantine.
I like that. That's quarantine. Then, you know, you do want to be careful. That's all. You want to be very, very careful about this. That's all. You could ride with a mask. I mean, you could. I don't know if it's the best thing. I saw someone riding with a face cover the other day when they're out riding their bike that looked like they took their old balaclava and they just pull it up and put it over their face. And there they were riding with a mask, so to speak. I see an awful lot of bandanas out there right now and people riding with those. And so it's already happening. There are ways of protecting yourself and others, but the key is, you know, protecting others as well as yourself. So I found another little piece here about how the pandemic will reshape cities. This is all kind of in the theme of where this show is going today. It's all about, you know, wow, you know, we're on bikes. We've got a chance to make a big change in the world right now. We've got a chance to really bring this alive. Someone's leaving me comments, but I can't quite read them, Fran. Okay. So if you wouldn't mind just taking a look. So the coronavirus pandemic will leave its mark on urban centers long after the outbreak itself recedes. And why this matters: most densely populated cities are ground zero for the virus and the rapid spread and the highest death tolls. And they're also likely to be the pioneers in making lasting changes to help prevent the same level of devastation in the future, like our friends in Oakland, California, for instance. The big picture: the combination of urbanization, climate change, and hyper-connected social society means infectious disease epidemics are likely to become more common, according to the World Economic Forum. So there are some predictions from urban experts on how cities might change. Buildings. We spend 90% of our time indoors. Think about that. 90% of our time is spent indoors. That's kind of a frightening fact. Buildings, if managed poorly, can spread disease. If we get it right, we can enlist in our schools and our homes into this fight. And building owners and builders should improve the air ventilation and filtration to control microbes and mold in the air. Increased indoor humidity can also help us to be less susceptible to germs.
Well, increased humidity. So that means air conditioning is not a good thing, is it? Probably a bit of a problem because it really dries the air out. Streets and sidewalks. This is my little thing. When we start to think about social distancing, we might see a rapid transition into broader sidewalks and closing streets and giving people more space to get around in the cities. Yay. So this is from the Brooks Rainwater, who is a director for the National League of Cities Center for City Solutions. Transportation, at least at first, commuters are likely to view personal cars as safer than public transit or shared options like scooters or ride hailing. That is going to be a big problem if they feel that cars are a safer way to go, because cars just congest cities. This is not a good answer. We need to take another look at this and maybe restrict the use of cars and maybe increase the use of bicycles and foot traffic within cities if we want to stay safer, my opinion. Airports, temperature checks, and other health screenings will become more likely. Oh, gosh. So now we're going to have to do TSA, and we're also going to have to get screened, health screen, before we can get on an airplane.
That means you could be planning for a trip, and if you show at the airport with a fever, They're going to turn you around. That's right.
They're going to turn you around, wow. Send you home. How about that? So, there's some things happening here. All the more reason to stay healthy, folks. If you want to travel, you're not going to be able to travel if you're not healthy. If you want to stay healthy, eat right, listen to the radio naturopath and what Dr. Fran has to say. And also, you want to get out and ride your bikes.
You should listen to Randy, who's listening, and grow microgreens indoors.
Yeah, there you go.
Can we do that?
I don't know. Randy, send me over a link on that so I can learn how to do that, if you don't mind. I would like to learn more about how to grow microgreens indoors. That'd be fun. So digital services, obviously digital services are going to have to get ramped up. We talk about it because we're getting most of our feed now through, our local cable company, who is supplying us with, internet access, and we're not getting cable from them, but we are, as far as television goes, but we are getting internet service from them. And excuse the beep, I don't know where it's coming from. This is time for those who are providing that cable access to beef it up a little bit, because we get interruptions before this whole crisis started. We are getting interruptions in our service. So it would be really, really nice if that became a big, big push. Maybe that is something that could use a little bit of federal funding.
Mike on Bike is listening from Roseville, Minnesota.
Oh, hi, Mike. How you doing?
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. This is great. I love the fact that we're getting all these people listening to us. It's really wonderful. The other thing that we can do here is, we gotta look at the reality check. At the end of the day, cities shall remain. They just may have to transform into something a little bit different. So let's take a look and see what we have to do in our future as far as this goes, because this is here to stay. I don't think we're going to see this go away right now. There's going to be an awful lot of change, an awful lot of new perceptions as to how we're going to have to do things. So how will the pandemic reshape our cities? Good question.
I think one of the things we're going to have to do is get really comfortable with the masks and get masks that we really like and are comfortable with. And you're probably going to have a bunch of them because, you want to throw them in the wash every week.
Sure.
And make it so that they fit right, because I don't think the masks are going away.
I don't think they are going away. And, get clever. Do what you want to do. You have a favorite brand of bicycle and you have a t-shirt from them. Make your mask out of that t-shirt and you can have some fun with it. Bicycle shops. This is a great opportunity for you to give masks away to your customers so that they will also advertise your business for you. Yeah, these are kind of cool ideas.
Goodness.
Right? I mean, think about this. This could become a real bonus as far as that goes.
We're going to get mask swag.
Mask swag, yes.
Yes.
You know, we used to get little bags, and we get all these, but now you're going to get mask swags. Hey, Tyler Rand, if you're listening, great farm to fork item to have this year. That would be a cool thing. So anyway, then something just popped across my desk on riding routes indoors. Ride with GPS, which I use often. As a matter of fact, our ride yesterday, I recorded with Ride with GPS. I also have a number of, I have a number of the routes that I have mapped out throughout northeastern Connecticut. They're all on Ride with GPS. So if you want to now take your favorite bike route from outdoors and you want to move it to your trainer, you can move it to your trainer. If you have a smart trainer that you're working with, like a Wahoo Kicker, which we have, big shout out to Wahoo. Thank you very much for your support. Or, you know, you can use your Garmin device, or you can use, they also, Wahoo also has an app too. I'm not sure what is connected to all of this. So you might have to do a little bit of research on this, but you can pair it with your phone and you can probably use your phone app also. So there are definitely ways of doing this. And there's a whole explanation of how you do this. One thing that they do require is that you are online with them with their premium service. So it's not the free app that they do this with. There is a premium service that you can get from them. I've been a supporter of that for years because I set up so many routes and so many rides for so many different events and also for our local bike club, that I've kept my premium subscription. So I think it's really good. But anyway, what you're going to do is you're going to make sure that your smart trainer, of course, is paired to your Wahoo. This would be an app if you're using a Wahoo device. And then you will, you'll basically toggle your location to indoors. And and then you'll go to your workout page. And you will start your workout on Wahoo, and you begin pedaling to wake up the smart trainer. And then you mode into your route and you go. But there's also so like that ride that you and I did yesterday, Fran, where we went out, we rode 39 miles on our bikes. That you could actually do that ride again if you wanted to. And I know you loved the hills that were on that ride. So that would be something that you could bring back as a lovely memory of it. And you could use it as a workout.
Colborne Road has a 14% section.
Now, you see, my ride with GPS said 11.5, but I think that might be a little bit off. I think you're more accurate with what you're using.
Well, I was using the actual computer on my bike. Because right. The ride with GPS is GPS.
Right.
It's
right.
Like, you know, it's like it sort of knows.
It sort of knows, right.
Because it's an average. Right. But when you're using a cyclocomputer, it's measuring where you actually are in real time by atmospheric pressure.
Right. Right.
It was 14%.
It was steep. I've heard others say 13% on that climb. It's a steep climb. And the thing is, once you get over that, then you drop into anywhere from a 3 to 6% till the end of the road. So right when you get to the point where it gets easier, your legs have already been kicked out from underneath you. So it's a tough climb. It is a tough climb, but it's a really pretty ride. And you know, so you have to weigh that out, you know. What are you looking for when you're riding your bike? And if it's your average speed, don't even get me started, please. I don't want to hear.
Yeah, we didn't go very fast yesterday.
We didn't go fast yesterday. It doesn't matter. Did you have a nice ride yesterday?
Yes, right.
Did you have a good time? Did you see some donkeys?
We climbed somewhere between 2,400 and 2,900 feet, depending on what service you're looking at.
Right. We climbed a lot of hills.
So this is interesting, too. So my cyclo computer, which was a Sigma, and Strava, and Ride with GPS, all had different numbers for the elevation, for the feet of climbing. And what's weird about the Strava is that I was running Ride with GPS during the ride, which I then uploaded to Strava because Strava no longer supports heart rate monitor, and Ride with GPS does. And even though Strava was using the ride with GPS data,
yeah,
it had a different feet of climbing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's weird. That's totally weird. Well, anyway, I've kind of lost track of my time here a little bit, but that's okay. I know we started about 10 or 15 minutes late, so I still have a few things to pop up here on the show, and I'm having some recording issues here. So we may run a hair short today just because of that. My apologies to Billy, who gets mad at me whenever I run my show short, but that's okay. We'll make up for it. At some point, we'll make up for it. Someday we'll ride our bikes together again. What a lovely idea that would be. So let's see. I know I've got a couple more things on here. We talked about that already. The big thing that I want to push right now, and this is so incredibly important. You gotta get out and you gotta ride your bicycles. You know, it don't stop riding because of this. Please do not take a look at this as a renewed situation here where you really can get an awful lot out of this. Oh, I know what I wanted to bring up. There's one more little ditty here that I found, which is really cool. This was from Bicycling Magazine too, and this is also during the COVID-19. It's an article about these Los Angeles bike shops are a lifeline to their communities. So, you know, when you take a look at a city as big as Los Angeles or a city as big as New York, there are people that can't get around unless they have some basic form of transportation. And they're staying off of the subways. They're staying off of the buses. They're not, you know, they're a little freaked out by it. And quite honestly, I would be too. My son lives in Chicago. He's not riding the bus. He's not riding the train. And that's how he gets around. He doesn't own a car. You know, that's how he gets around. I would like it if he owned a bicycle. But if he sees this, he's going to go, oh, Dad, roll his eyes. But anyway, the bicycles, people are using their bikes more. So this is a big deal. You know, this article actually came out on April 10th and shows all these interesting. Look at this. Bizano's bicycle shop. I love it. They show two guys out in front of the shop. They've got their masks on. And, you know, there's certain rules that you have to pay attention to when you're going to visit your local bike shop. They will state what their rules are. But generally speaking, you're probably not going to be allowed in the store unless you might possibly be purchasing a bicycle. They might let you in for that. But it's going to be one person at a time when you do that. So be prepared to wait because it's just not going to be as easy as it was in the past. So there have been critics that have argued that bike shops are primarily catered to privileged fitness-oriented hobbyists. That is true. There are a number of bicycle shops that cater to that crowd. And I understand that. But there are also a number of bicycle shops that cater to folks that are just using their bikes for transportation. You know, they're getting around on their bikes. They're maybe getting they're getting some fitness with their kids. We talked about this last week at the number of families that we see out riding their bicycles right now. They're out there. They're riding together. I see kids on bikes. Boy, it just brings joy to my heart when I see kids on bikes. This is the way I grew up. I grew up on a bicycle. A bicycle was next to my, human friends, my best friend of all friends, because my bike just gave me this independence and this freedom and this ability to just get out and just feel happiness and joy. So that's why I am still to this day very passionate about bicycles and always will be. But anyway, there are these bicycle shops in LA that are all open. Most of them are open. I saw a stat, I think it was on Bicycle Retailer or the Independent Bicycle Dealers Association. I saw a stat that said that at least 80% or more of bicycle shops are still open. So they're still there. They're still there for you if you need parts because you're doing some repair on your own, or if you need them to do some work for you, they are available for you. So just call ahead. Use the phone. Remember the phone? The phone was an interesting device, wasn't it? We used to pick it up. We used to call people and actually talk to a human on the other side. It's kind of a beautiful thing. And, you know, we may have to take a couple of steps backwards on our technology. You could still text them. You can still, Lon shouts out, you can still, you know, reach them in other ways. There's email, there's their website might have a way of contacting them, I'm sure. But, you know, a phone call is great because you know that there is actually a real human that's talking to you, living and breathing and talking to you on the other end of things, on the other end of the line. So, you know, feel free to shout out to your bicycle shop. It's a good thing. It's definitely a good thing. So right now, the statement coming out of the Los Angeles Bicycle Shop article is more people are riding their bikes to work. They don't feel safe on the bus. I get that. I get it. It makes all the sense in the world that you wouldn't feel that way. And then, of course, many customers don't feel the luxury of or have the luxury of being able to do the repair work themselves. You know, some of us have our little caves where we can work on bikes. We've got our bike tools and we've got, you know, our collections over the years and we can do that sort of thing. Others are, you know, as this is a big shout out to an old friend of mine, David Evan. He gave me this one. I had not heard it before. I had met him. And he said he had a philosophy in life, and it was, when in doubt, hire out. So I like that. Big shout out to Dave Evans on that one. That was a beauty. You know, support your local bike shop. They're alive. They're kicking. They are 80% open, at least at this time. I don't think they're going to go away. And I'm going to also say this, too. Bless you, Fran. Oh. If you are going to your local bike shop, make sure you learn their rules before you walk through the door and you know, abide by them, please. Be smart about this. You know, this other shop says right now they're taking whatever business walks through the front door. And that's a lot of maintenance work right now. So quite a bit of maintenance work going on. The bicycle shops are staying alive. Good for them. That was a little piece you can read from Bicycling Magazine that talks about the Los Angeles Los Angeles bicycle shops. We're still alive out there, and this is the thing. So I'm gonna close out on this one here too. Just so we get a little bit better picture on this one. So what will the world look like as the pandemic winds down? Bikes. A major change is about to happen. This will be the next bike boom for the industry. Do you remember the gas crisis back in the 70s? I do. I remember riding by lines, like hour-long lines of people sitting in line waiting to put gasoline in their tank because they had the even number on the back of their license plate. The next day, only the odd numbers were allowed to put gas in their tanks. Remember that? I think you could remember that. Well, maybe you don't, because I'm an old guy, and so therefore, you know, I do remember those things. If you do, shout out to me. Let me know, bicycletalk1@gmail.com or on the Facebook page. Okay, so here it is. Finishing notes here. Is the industry ready? If you're a bicycle shop and you're listening, are you ready? Will people be avoiding the gym and work out outside instead of inside? Is the infrastructure ready? Is your infrastructure ready? What will happen to public transportation as we know it? Will people be tighter with their money and therefore using the bicycle instead of their motorized vehicle to transport themselves, and they'll turn to a bicycle? These are things I'd like you to think about. And I think that we all have a lot of thinking to do right now. We certainly have the time to do it. So events, as far as I know or we know at this time, please check with your local event or your event that you might be going away to see all of the updates. I mentioned earlier, Eurobike canceled their July media event. Not sure about the September show plans. That was as of April 8th, 2020. There is, they're just stay in touch on that one. The 9th annual Thread City Cyclers Century Ride on July 26, 2020 is still on, as far as I know. Come explore the roads that Pedal and Ron and Fran ride on. Saturday, August 15th, 2020, the Steeplechase Bicycle Tour, steeplechasebiketour.org. It is also still on, as I know it, at this time. So, things are still happening. The Farm to Fork Fondo that I am the MC for, that, as far as I know, is still on. We won't be having an event starting until August this year, which is very late, but we are going to try to squeeze them in. So, yeah, these things are happening. Remember, the views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, the management, or the licensee of this station. My name is Pedalin' Ron, and you have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this live on Facebook Live or on podcast and you'd like to comment, you can send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show or be on the show as a guest, you can send an email to me, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. And remember, this Facebook Live will stay up also, and you will be able to listen to it at another time. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down, the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. Thank you for listening.